morning, C3. Welcome those of you here in West and those of you down in East, North, wherever you are watching. My name is Jason. I'm one of the pastors here. It's good to have you here. Thank you for taking time out this weekend to be here as we wrap up the Dashboard Lights series. And today we're going to talk about taming the temperature gauge. We've been using all kinds of dashboard instruments as a way to talk about the fact that God gives us warnings in our life of things that he wants us to stay away from. And we're going to take another look at one of those today, the temperature gauge. I'm not a real car savvy person, and so I had to do a little reading about what that means. And I'm not going to pretend like I know more than I do about that. But the temperature gauge generally suggests that your engine is overheating. So we're going to talk a little bit about when our engine overheats in terms of anger. And as I thought about it, I'm like, I don't really remember hearing a sermon about anger before. So we're going to take a look at this, but I thought back to the late 70s, early 80s. My first lessons in anger. First of all, I grew up in a fairly stable home. Some of you might have different experiences with how anger was expressed in your home. But for me, my biggest life lesson about anger came on Friday nights on CBS, 8 o'clock. Do you remember? Were you there? Right? Now, this is before live streaming, so it was, you literally had to have your butt in front of a television at 8 o'clock CBS Friday nights. And it came from this guy. Do we have a picture? Now, you'd think, on the face of it, it's like, well, he looks like a very friendly guy. And he's a doctor, of all things, right, on television. How in the world would I learn about anger from this man? Well, he said something in every episode, or quite frequently anyways, that stuck with me. And it says this: don't make me angry. You wouldn't like me when I'm angry. And of course, the doctor I'm referring to is Dr. David Bruce Banner. Now, again, to look at the guy, you think, why would you not want to make him angry? Well, because he was a doctor who dabbled in gamma radiation and it all went bad. And so when you angered him, he metamorphosized into the Incredible Hulk and Hulk Smash, right? And this is before CGI, so, you know, if you remember this, I mean, Lou Ferrigno was buff, right? And he would throw cars and all this stuff. And, you know, with a lot of intense therapy over the years, I'm still getting over the bad dreams I had of him. But I thought back about that. I'm like, wow, you know, for a kid whose chief ambition in life was for people to like him, the message that came through unintentionally, it's not like Stan Lee sat down to derail my views of anger, but for a person who wanted to be liked, to hear about, well, don't make me angry, you wouldn't like me when I'm angry. How do you think I handled that? I wasn't really good at anger. I felt it, everybody feels it, but I didn't know what to do with it. And when I felt it, I wasn't sure if what I was feeling was wrong. Because as we're going to look at here in Scripture in a little bit, there are definitely some things that ought to make us angry. And we're going to see why that's important. But it's also important to talk about how we express that anger. Because we all know anger. We all have that experience in our life. And it is a warning light in our lives that we ought to pay attention to. But what does it actually mean? What does it mean for us when we are angry? Is it bad? Is it good? Is there a productive purpose for anger? Especially, I want to focus here real acutely today, on our relationships. Not anger in isolation, but in relationship with other people. Well, whatever the case, and we're going to look at some answers, maybe just ask a few more questions as we go. Whatever the case that is, we know that anger can be powerful, right? We may not be throwing cars and, you know, flexing our muscles and all that stuff, but anger is an emotional force in our life. And sometimes we're not really sure what to do with it. And so it behooves us to take a look at the Bible to see what God might have to say about this powerful resource in our life and learn how to temper it, not to squelch it, not to just let it fly off anywhere we want, but to temper it, to control it, and focus it in positive and productive ways in our life. Well, how do we do that? We're going to look at the Bible today. Several verses kind of point us in a direction. First of all, how God's anger comes to us and how that can help us. And then how our anger ought to be expressed and where it needs to be directed for positive purposes too. I always try and put a big idea out there. And this morning, if I was going to sum it up for us, I would say from Scripture, here's what I get. You might write this down if it's helpful or use the C3 Tri-Cities app. Align your anger with heaven's agenda. This is what God wants us to do with anger, is to align it with heaven's agenda. You say, well, okay, that's a lot of nice A words there. Thank you. Think about it. What did Jesus pray when his disciples asked him how to pray? Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That applies to everything in our life, even our strong emotions. And so it behooves us to take a look and to see what God has to say and what God intends where anger is concerned in our lives. The first point I would want us to look at, we're just going to keep it real simple this morning. Think big picture. Think big picture about anger. Very succinctly, let me just say, anger is a God-given emotion. It comes from God. You don't have to read very far into the Bible to see that God gets angry quite often at the children of Israel as he's established this covenant relationship with them, and they tend to wander off the path, and he has to bring them back, but he gets angry about what they're doing. Jesus got angry. A New Testament, we see where he was pretty well bent at the Pharisees a lot of times for their hypocrisy and the way they were trying to set the bar so high for other people and not really willing to live up to it themselves. He goes into the temple, depending on which version of it you read in the Bible, and throws the tables over and kind of wrecks the place out of a sense of indignation that these people were creating barriers for people to be able to come in and worship God freely. That really, really upset him to the place where he trashed the place. Now, if you're mad this morning, please do not go out and trash the lobby. I'll thank you in advance. But because we see in Scripture that God gets angry, and Jesus got angry, you can get angry. It's okay. Now that might be brand new to some of you because you might have grown up in an environment that says, well, you ought not get angry. Good Christians don't get angry. We're supposed to be nice. And some of you have been suffering from terminal niceness for a very long time. And I'm here to tell you that anger is a God-given emotion. You have the right to be angry about certain things. Okay? And this is where we need to take the conversation. Again, like I say, God's anger is most often directed in the Bible as we read at his children, Israel. But listen, he didn't just get angry just to get angry, just to be demonstrative. He did it for the good of those people. God's anger is for our good. And I'm going to say it several times today, God might get angry with you, and it's okay. It's okay, but let's think about what God got angry about. As you read through the Old Testament, predominantly gives us some of these main themes. They all happen to start with the letter I. I'm sure there's a few more, but one of the big things that God's anger burned about, as you'll read a lot of times in the Bible, is over idolatry. God says, I'm going to be your God, and you be my people. And Israel goes, well, let's think about that. And they go off and they start worshiping other gods. And to read that, sometimes we think, oh, that's so archaic. Well, what is idolatry for us today? Anything that gets in the way of your relationship, your primary relationship with God. Could be where you live, could be what you drive, could be what's in the bank, could be that person, could be what you're looking at, could be what you own. All these things can become idols in our life. And when that happened in the life of the people of Israel, God's anger burned. But his anger was always for their good. Another thing that upset God in the Bible is injustice. People who had oppressing those who didn't have. Indifference. People who just really were sort of waiting for somebody else to save the day, to do the right thing. God got angry about that. He got angry about ignorance, people who knew better but didn't do better. That That's still true for us today. There's a lot of knowledge. You're one Google click away from having 87,000 links to any topic of your choice, right? Knowing better doesn't necessarily mean doing better for us. And God got angry about that in the Bible. And then there's just sort of the general umbrella of evil. And we read about that a lot of times where kings would come into power and they would either do right in the eyes of the Lord or they would do evil in the eyes of the Lord. And you can use your imagination there as to what evil constitutes. But listen to this. Listen to what God's purpose is in getting angry. It's come through the wisdom of the Proverbs here. Proverbs 3. The writer says, "My son, do not despise the Lord's discipline." Right? Now, we always think of discipline in terms of punishment, but discipline, I think, in the Bible anyways, has more to do with training, right? Every parent gets this. Discipline isn't just spanking or timeouts or whatever. It's, hey, there's a better plan in store for you. There's some things that you can learn even in the midst of your mistakes. "So my son, do not despise the Lord's discipline and do not resent his rebuke, because the Lord disciplines those he loves. As a father, the son he delights in." Now, some of you grew up in homes where this was not expressed. Your parents just got angry with you and they beat you. Or they drank and then they beat you. Or they got angry and then they just left. Okay? So the idea of a parent being angry and then using that anger for positive purposes is brand new to you. And I'm here to tell you that God sets the standard for what that ought to be. To look like. The Lord disciplines those he loves. The discipline, the correction, the training, that rebuke, that leading in life comes from a heart of love. Some people are very turned off by the God of the Old Testament. He just seems mad all the time. It's like, well, you know what? When you parent toddlers, anybody have toddlers or had toddlers? I used to wonder before I had toddlers, why are those parents so angry all the time? And then I had some of my own, and I'm like, I'm that person, right? You know, it's just, there's something about you that just like, ah, right? God leads by example. He's that person, not because he wants to be mad all the time, but the Lord disciplines those he loves. Look at Numbers, one of the sleepier books in the Bible, but some great truth in here. The Lord is slow to anger. It's not like God's just got his hand on the smite button all the time, right? The Lord is slow to anger, abounding in love and forgiving sin and rebellion, yet he does not leave the guilty unpunished. He punishes the children for the sin of the parents to the third and the fourth generation. We're learning about something in our home called epigenetics, where science now is discovering that trauma that happens up to 3 and 4 generations ago, violence, anger, traumatization, all these things can be genetically passed on to the third and the fourth generation. So if your great-grandparents had anger issues, it might show up in you. It's as if God knew what he was talking about, right? It's not that he's sort of looking to just lay out the punishment for generations. It's wired in us to genetically have the capacity to pass things on. So it matters how we handle this, because some of you are parents. Some of you are grandparents and will be great-grandparents. And is that really the legacy you want to leave them? So let's talk about this now, because it matters. So here's God's process. If we could sort of parse this out a little bit and see where God's discipline leads his children and us today. It wasn't just for the children of Israel back then. It's for us today. There's the initial disobedience, right? Israel rebelled, they wandered, they worshiped other gods, they did whatever, they got in trouble. So the Lord's anger burns. That's a pretty common phrase that you'll read in the Bible. And so the discipline comes on board, the correction comes on board, the punishment, sometimes it leads to exile, sometimes it leads to another nation coming in and taking over for a while and putting the people of Israel on the back foot. That is supposed to lead them, as it is for us, to repentance, to the understanding that we have done something wrong that needs to be made right, because we are in relationship with God and we're meant to be in right relationship with God. And God didn't mess up. We did. So once that happens, the people of Israel, you know, had this prodigal moment. They came to their senses and they did repent. Guess what God did? He forgave them. Sometimes I think God's sitting back going, oh, let's see how sorry they really are. I want to make them twinge just a little. No, the Lord is quick to forgive, slow to anger, quick to forgive. He forgave his people. He will forgive you. If he's mad at you, it's not forever. He's slow to anger and he's not going to hold it forever. He wants to forgive and to restore you. That's the direct, see where all this is going? To restore you, not to keep you down and remind you of whatever you did that made him mad in the first place. That's torture. God doesn't torture people. We ought not torture people with our anger as well. But then once that restoration happens, guess what? The status is that of righteousness. Clean slate. God wants to have a clean slate in the relationship with you. And when we wander, when we stray, when we sin, when we do whatever, and we repent, there's a way back. Thank God there's a way back. Some of you wouldn't be here today if there wasn't a way back. Some of you are here this morning and you're not quite sure. Stick around. There is. There is. God doesn't hold grudges. That's probably the best news of all. He doesn't sit there and keep a scorecard. Some people think heaven's like that, right? Just sort of a plus a negative column, right? It's not like that. God is the great I am. He lives in the moment with you. He's got eternity all handled, but he lives in the moment with you. And so it doesn't really work in a relationship with him to hang on to that anger. He does not hold grudges. He wants you in right relationship with him. So think broadly about anger in terms of how God demonstrates it and how he wants it to work in our relationship with him. Well, let's shift gears a little bit. We talk about aligning our anger with heaven's agenda. Well, heaven's agenda, we've got a picture of really the things that torque God and will continue to because he's God, he's faithful to who he is. But let's look at what anger looks like in our life. I think it's real important to first ask, and there isn't any chapter and verse with this, I'm just going to ask a bunch of questions, and they might be hard questions, and so if you want to write them down, that's okay too. We'll go slow through this if it helps. But here's what I want us to think about. It's important for us to think about where our anger, when that rises up in us, some people get the sweaty palms or the heart rate beaten or, you know, kind of sweater. You just feel this energy rise in you, right? We know what that's like. Somebody cuts you off on the road or whatever. It's like, yeah, I'm here, you know, I'm ready. Where's it coming from? Okay, that's a very important question to ask. Anytime you get angry, where's this coming from? And here's why I think it's important. First of all, I think it's one of the frontline ways that we can help mitigate that anger on the front end, right? Because in the moment, sometimes we rush and do some very stupid things, don't we? We say some stupid things, and we can't take those things back. So Seth Godin, who is a brilliant mind, gives a lot of TED Talks, author, blogger, all this stuff, says something I really have hung on to in my own battle with anger. I get angry too, right? My kids, my people in my house will testify to that. He says this. He says, it's hard to be angry and curious at the same time. Think about it. It's true, right? When you start wondering whether somebody's angry at you or whether you're getting, if you start asking questions, all of a sudden it changes, it redirects that strong emotion and puts it in some positive ways. So let's talk about where this shows up. First of all, it should show up in our conversations with God. We ought not have conversations with God with kid gloves on. If you read the Psalms at all, you realize that David, for as mighty a person as he was, spent a good bit of time with some strong emotions on board too. Anger, discouragement, frustration, disappointment, sadness, joy. He just lived on the front edge of emotion. But he was honest about it, and we ought to follow that example. We ought to be able to follow that example in our interactions with others, to be curious about when somebody makes us mad, to say, I wonder what's going on with that person. That takes a little bit of work to do, to be curious instead of just wanting to retaliate all the time. And with ourselves, right? To be able to look inside and don't be afraid of the truth. It's okay to acknowledge things even when they're painful, especially when we value a relationship with God. Because he has asked, he wants to be a part of that healing process in our life. If anger is something that up to this point really is a confusing subject for you, is something that's derailed you, it's caused you to make some regrettable decisions and things that you really don't feel like you can come back from. So here's the first question I want you to think about. And this is probably the toughest one. I want to be real careful here. I want you to ask yourself, is God angry with you? He might be. And I don't know if you expect to hear that in church. Maybe that's all you expect to hear. But listen, listen, let's think about what we just talked about. The Lord disciplines those he loves. If your life is out of alignment with heaven's agenda, God may be upset about that with you. Now, is it to punish you forever? Spend a lot of time at the deathbed and people who wonder if God is punishing the person who's dying or who's been critically injured, right? Now, that I'm not even going to go close to that. But what I'm saying is that it's very easy for us to associate anger and punishment together and never work through that to say, what might be the greater purpose in my life? I've seen this handled very badly. And so I would really ask you to be very careful with that and to discern that through prayer, okay? God is faithful to give us the truth and to love us through our questions. But it's not the end of the world if God is mad at you. God gets mad at me, and I get mad at God, right? We have some good conversations that I can't say in public because sometimes I use naughty words. God doesn't use naughty words, but he lets me, right? And then he tells me things and says, look, really, really, are we just going to sit on this? Or are we going to deal with this? It's okay. It's okay. But the flip side of that is, are you angry with God? You might very well be. You might feel like you have a legitimate axe to grind with the King of the universe. It's better to acknowledge it than to say, oh, well, I'm sure I'm just not spiritual enough. Oh, I think anger is a great indicator of spirituality. It's honoring the emotion that God set in your heart to say, okay, now what? Here's another good question to ask, though. What or who is making you mad? Is it just anybody? Right? Coffee's not hot enough and that sets you off? Is that really, you know, that got eternal significance? Is it chronic in your life, or is it just something that just every now and again, but boy, when it comes up, I just feel like I'm just at a low simmer, and then all of a sudden somebody turns up the heat and bah, you know? What's behind your anger? That's a good question for you and a therapist. Fear sometimes drives anger. Grief, unresolved, drives anger. Hurt drives anger. Sometimes biologically, just the way we're wired, you know. Some people have an express lane to anger because of how their brain was knit together in their mother's womb. It's just a thing. Now, that doesn't give you a pass. It's a strike against you that you need to get ahead of, because there's some things that you're going to have to do extra to really stay on top of this. Maybe you're so stressed that one little thing just puts you over the edge all the time. You're just living at this right here. There's just ha, and the littlest thing at home, at work, whatever, and you go critical, right? That's something to pay attention to in relationship with God. God shed some light on this in my life. Are you easily offended? I watch some of you on social media and I'm like, wow, you must be exhausted at the end of the day because everything sets you off. People you don't know, people you don't like, just everything. You're just constantly annoyed. And I feel sorry for you. I really, really do. Is it just about those things, or is it about you? That's my question. Is there something in you that really needs feeding there? Here's another question too. Are you feeding the things that make you angry? I can't listen to talk radio. I'll be honest. I can't watch the news. I can't do it. 10 minutes of that stuff and I'm ready to go throat punch somebody. I'm just like, why is this? It just makes me, and so I turn it off. I spend time in the morning with a lot of quiet. All right, listen to the Daily Audio Bible. Because that, hearing God's word doesn't make me angry as much. Sometimes it does, because God's saying, hey, big boy, you know. What are you spending your emotional currency on? We only get so much of it. And some of you spend inordinate amounts of it on things that don't really matter to the point where you don't have any left for the things that do matter. There are some serious problems in our world that God, I think, is asking us to get a little riled up about. Because if we don't, they're not going to get better. He's inviting us to do some things. I love that when we say, hey, there's some people all over the world who need our help, and if we don't help them, they're not going to get help. Can we raise a couple $1,000s? And we do. And we get a chance to, I'm just thinking of this Jamaica trip. People are going to go down and see the difference that a little bit of unrest creates in us and our ability to come together and to do some really good things. But that doesn't, you can't give from the leftovers there, right? You got to come with some really strong feelings about this isn't right and we can do something about it. That to me is heaven's agenda. That's where we're aligned with him. So those are some very troubling questions. Always invite those. I'm asking them of myself, right? This is an ongoing process. So it's not like we're just going to give you the answers and say, okay, go figure it out. Keep asking those questions of yourself, others in your home, others that you work with, maybe a new lens through which to see what somebody else is going through, and a way to even, dare I say, pray for them. I think God, through Jesus, asked us to do that, pray for our enemies, our persecutors, love these people. Here's the last part. So we looked at where it's coming from. Now we need to look at what it's leading to, how we express our anger. We got to deal with it, in other words. We have to deal with it. Can't just sit on it. Can't just pretend it's not there. And if we've up to this point thought it's a bad thing in our life, to say, okay, well, maybe there's a possibility that there is a positive way to deal with this. And what does that look like? Here's the first thing I'd want you to listen to, though, based on Scripture. You get to have anger. Absolutely. There are things worth getting mad about. You never get to hold it. You don't get to hold it. I just did a wedding up here last night. And classic lines from those wedding vows, to have and to hold, right? Some of you are married to your anger. You're married to it. And I got to tell you, it's time to break up. You get to have anger. You do not get to hold anger. God never gives a stamp of approval on that because he doesn't hold grudges. We said that already, right? Ephesians 4, 26 and 27. Paul talking to the Ephesian church. In your anger, do not what? Do not sin. That means it's possible to be angry a right way, short of sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry. A lot of couples hang on to that one. And do not give the devil a foothold. So there is room for possibility there to be angry and to not do wrong by it, okay? That takes some antenna up to say, okay, God, I'm feeling this. What do I do with it, right? You, on your own, probably not going to have good success there. But it is possible. In your anger, do not sin. A couple verses later, get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Now that's not a, sometimes we hear this sort of, oh, I'm just going to let go and let God. No, that's not what the verb says there. Get rid of means purge. You got to get angry about anger that's taken over your life. You got to purge it. Get rid of bitterness, anger, rage, all this stuff. The things that will ferment in your life and begin to sour your spirit, and they take a really high toll. Second thing is to slow down. Slow down. Oh, it's so hard when we're angry to slow down. For parents, a lot of times, the magic number is 4. If kids set you off, you can go 1, 2, 3, 4. You're in a different place. It's amazing, right? Ecclesiastes 7:9, listen to this. Do not be quickly provoked in your spirit, for anger resides in the lap of fools. Again, that sort of sitting and staying with the anger as opposed to feeling it and being able to address it right away. James 1:19 and 20, listen to this. My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to become angry. That's discipline. That takes some training. That takes some grace, some work, some being at the wrong end of that and having God demonstrate that to you to be able to pass that on to other people. And finally, so critical, Bible over and over again, do not take revenge. Oh, you know what? Sorry, there's another verse there. Back up. Human anger doesn't produce the righteousness that God desires. Remember, that's the goal, is this righteousness. So when we hang on to anger, we can't get to righteousness. we have to be able to get rid of it, or we're never going to move forward. If you're stuck in your spiritual life, this may be a big part of that worth addressing. Now let's go to the last one. Don't seek revenge. Don't seek revenge. It makes for good movies, good read, right? Oh, the character who gets the bad hand dealt to him, boy, they're just coming the rest of the way. And oh, when they serve it to the other person cold, we're just like, yeah, right? Bible does not validate that for us, because it's God's business to repay. Look at Romans chapter 12. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. Keep going. If it's possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Keep going. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath, for it's written, it is mine to avenge. I will repay, says the Lord. Keep going. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink. If you're in doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head, not out of spite, but because that's how God is going to bring them to repentance. So on your keep going. Love does not dishonor others. It's not, oh, this is from 1 Corinthians. Oh, so good. Love doesn't dishonor others. It's not self-seeking, not easily angered, keeps no record of wrongs. It all comes back to God's love. It always comes back to God's love. What would it look like for you in your life? I know we've covered a lot of ground this morning. What would it look like for you to align your anger with heaven's agenda? If this is new, if this is sort of stirring something in you, I challenge you to go back to the Word. Look at these verses. Think about them. Meditate on them. Start to pour some of this stuff through a new filter in your relationship with God, with others, with yourself. And let's keep working on this together, shall we? Let's pray. God, thank you for your endless love for us and the ability to feel strong emotions and to do right by you when we feel them, to get mad about things worth getting mad about, not just to be angry, but to be useful. God, we pray blessing on your people as we, this is a lot of time ones we don't like to talk about because it's an uncomfortable emotion, especially in the life of believers. But God, help us to see your truth in all of this. We praise you and thank you and ask for your blessing as we go. In your name, amen.